Since the 1990s, elk that migrate between Yellowstone National Park and Cody have been raising fewer calves. But the elk that stay in the foothills near Cody year-round and don't migrate have been doing very well. A new study looks at why that's the case. We're joined now by the lead author on the report, Arthur Middleton. He says they spent years looking at the elk's predators and habitat and how those corresponded to elk pregnancies and overall well-being.
Essentially, we found that migratory elk had low pregnancy rates. They had, in that first year, about a 59% pregnancy rate, which is kind of pretty strikingly low for elk. Rocky Mountain elk usually have about a 90% rate of pregnancy. And resident elk had that typical rate of about 90%. So we saw this low pregnancy of these migratory elk. And what that seems to be is an influence of drought in the region. So low pregnancy means fewer calves are born, but then you got to get down to only, you know, so 70% over 4 years of these elk were pregnant. But by the end of the summer, there's only about 15 calves per 100 cows. So the calf numbers are still dropping. And that's where we see this influence of recovering predators, wolves and grizzly bears. As many people know, wolves were reintroduced and proceeded to grow in numbers and expand. But at the same time, grizzly bear numbers were growing in the landscape. And grizzly bears, it turns out, are the primary predator of elk calves. And so we could explain the rest of this decline in elk calf production among the migrants by these high summer predation levels, particularly by bears, but also by wolves. Residents, meanwhile, have access to irrigated agriculture, hay and alfalfa fields, and they benefit from the removal of predators. I mean, one of the interesting things there is that we think of migration as a strategy to get better food and to escape from predators that make their dens down on these winter ranges or near winter ranges. It actually seems like it's the residents who, in this case, are starting to gain these dual benefits of a migratory strategy.
So what does all of this mean from a wildlife management perspective? I mean, do you have advice for wildlife managers or things they might take away from this?
Well, it's a good question, and I think that it's relevant kind of on two scales. At one sort of broader scale, you know, this is a story about migration. It's hard in our ever more developed world to sustain these longer distance animal movements. Elk in the Greater Yellowstone ecosystem move between 25 and 85 miles twice each year between their seasonal ranges. That's really unique. That's something that people generally want to conserve. But here we're seeing that those benefits of migration are seeming to be diminished relative to the benefits of residency. This doesn't mean migratory elk are going to disappear. They're going to persist. But this suggests that we ought to be paying attention to these subtle landscape changes, changes in how predators are managed, changes in the distribution of what elk like to eat as we think about how to sustain migratory animals. It's not always about fences and roads and obstructions to migration. It can also be about how these resources and risks are distributed on the landscape. More locally and regionally, you know, many people are asking, well, you know, what does this kind of work mean for the way that we manage predators? And there's a lot of interest in wolves because of recent changes in their management. Does this mean that wolves aren't, you know, playing a role in reducing elk populations or elk calf recruitment? No, it doesn't mean that. But it means that there are these other factors that are at play that are also limiting elk calf numbers. And so that means that we need to take those other factors, another key predator, grizzly bears, as well as changing habitat conditions into account. And in some areas, if those factors more strongly limit elk calf numbers, then reducing wolf numbers in the expectation of growing more elk calves might not, you know, bring as much of a return as we expect.
Is it actually a worry, though, if fewer elk are surviving or if they're having fewer babies? I mean, obviously, we used to have more predators in the Yellowstone area.
Right.
Are we really not going back to just kind of how it used to be?
That's a really, really good question. And so, yes, I mean, we sort of expected this to happen to some degree when these large carnivores that eat elk were recovered in the system. And so in some ways, this is not surprising, and we might be arriving back at something a little bit more similar to what was there previously. But what this raises is the need to think about whether the drought effects we're seeing are linked to a longer-term change in the regional climate. If those migratory elk continue to experience those poorer summer foraging conditions, which, as we've seen, it is a shorter spring green-up, that's why they migrate, essentially, is to get that newly emergent green vegetation. So future changes or ongoing reductions in that resource on the landscape could be novel. It's not entirely clear yet. And the second thing is the key calf predator in this system, grizzly bears, we now know that their diets are changing. They're losing some important diet items. They're very opportunistic, they're omnivorous, and when they lose one important diet item, they look for something else to eat. And there's starting to be some pretty good evidence that some grizzly bears in the system are consuming more elk calves as they lose other diet items. And so to answer your question, there are these pieces of what we've been seeing that suggest we ought not to be alarmed, but we also may not want to be complacent that we're simply arriving back at a historical sort of baseline, particularly in light of climatic changes and changing predator behavior, particularly of grizzly bears.
All right. Well, Arthur, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.